In the name of Lord Jesus, I study this book of Amos with us for this CYC. So this is one of the major book we are going to study during these 5 days, because this is part of a very this is including in this top theme, exalting. Exalting what? Salvation. Right? And also, we select this book because, you know, the chapter is only about 9 chapters. It's suitable for a 5 days event to complete and finish it. It's longer because we probably have no too many chances to study this minor prophet, because our time actually is so limited, including NYTS, all the CYC together. We are, and also including the SSC. If you can attend all the SSC, NYTS, CYC all together, we can barely and complete go once of Bible books. And if you can complete the PMVP and then probably we can go through the whole chapter, the whole Bible, briefly to study, to touch upon this book and get some message or teachings from the individual book. Okay, so regarding to the book of Amos, do we have any memory about this book in your brain, in your mind? You can remember anything from this book? So probably, I think we should remember it, right? Because, you know, James, when he made a conclusion during the conference in Jerusalem, you know, he stood up and then he said, he cited this book of Amos, right? Let's turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, from verse 12 to verse 18. So after long debate of about salvation, and then verse 12, start from sister's side, Amanda, read. One verse, yes. Okay, amen. Thank you. So, this is how you finish, right? How she finish, right? Because I cannot hear. Okay, James, he cited a message from the prophet. So in verse 15, say, and to this agreed the word of the prophets as it is written. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. This is actually it's from Amos chapter 9, verse 11. This is why Amos is important prophecies about the salvation. And it has been fulfilled once in apostolic time. So during this, the first church, the original church establishment, the apostles, they already can understand the prophecy about Amos. We also have to understand this is the in the end time. It's very important. We have to also study these books because we, as a TJC, we want to restore this Church of God, the true gospel. The ruin, actually, this faith has been becoming a ruin. People, they just astray from the true salvation. But we want to restore it through the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, let's go into this book. Stuck. Why? Okay, Amos. The meaning of Amos is burden. When his father named him, probably have no idea what he is going to do, right? But just Amos name given to him, and later he became a person really to carry out this burden of God. You know, he become a very important character to speak it out about the word of God, and it's so difficult at the time because he spoke something people don't like, and in the people can see that this is not a right time to hear this kind of the sad news. Because most of people are enjoying their life. They just cannot imagine what are you talking about, like destruction or the captivity. They don't believe it. But that's how he carried his burden. So Amos, the meaning of the name already show us, reveal this work of God. Burden. Okay? And he is a sheep breeder or herdman, and then a tender of sycamore fruit. So in chapter 1, verse 1, and chapter 7, 14, we can see he introduced himself. Okay? So let's turn to Amos 1, verse 1. We know his this prophet first, because he is very important. Chapter 1, verse 1. Continue, Sister Sai. Next. Okay. And then 2 years before the earthquake, you read, right? Okay. So this, the first verse describe about his background. So he is a shepherd, a herdman of Tekoa. And in chapter 7, 14, he introduced himself. Chapter 7, 14. Next. 14 and 15. So you can see he is not a blood of prophet. So He is not nor a priest. He's just an ordinary people. Maybe just a shepherd. A family is considered as poor. But God called him. God called him and then asked him to prophesy. Go. You go and prophesy to my people, Israel. Okay? So that's what he's supposed to do. Speak word to Israel. And because actually he was born in Judah and was called by the Lord specially for his mission to prophesy against Israel. Okay? So he is a man in the southern kingdom, but he was sent to north to preach, to prophesy. So this he had to away from home. He was sent out to somewhere else. Okay? So where is Tekoa? Just to give you some idea. About 6 miles south of Bethlehem. You know the very Bethlehem, right? And north here is Jerusalem. On the border here. So it's south of Bethlehem, about maybe about 10 miles from Jerusalem, south. So this is where he grew up, in this place. But God called him, especially go out to Samaria to preach, to face the kings. So you can see that someone have to be brave enough to answer God's calling. And this book was written in about 760 to 750 BC. Because he already gave us the date, right? 2 years before the earthquake. So they, the scholar, they search and then calculate according to this all the reference. They consider this book maybe is ink in 760 around. 760. And the historical time in verse 1 already says this is in the king of Judah, Uzziah, and then Jeroboam II, king of Israel. And these two kings actually are the kings when the Judah and the Israel all are in prosperity. They have a very peaceful time. These two kings, they actually can get along. They don't fight to each other. So these two kingdoms, now north and south, they befriend, actually, they have peace. That's because the big environment, the foreign country, the other stronger force have no function at all at the time. So they don't get threatened from others. So King Uzziah, or called Azariah, this is in the Kings and the Chronicles. This is Uzziah. They have different names, so let me know. And Jeroboam II, king of Israel, is the high peak of the North Kingdom. So you can see Amos pray as a prophet probably about 10 years, especially to deliver the message for the Lord. Okay, so this is the background. And then contemporary prophets, at the same period of time, Hosea, Jonah, are the prophets in north, and Micah and Isaiah working in the south. So you can see at that time God actually raised up many prophets to deliver messages. That's why if we look at the book of Hosea, Jonah, or the Micah, Isaiah, they have a similar message. And get some message from other books, right? From this prophet. Okay, so he is one of the prophets at that time. Okay, and this map show you about the geographic locations about nations, right? Israel, and then south is Judah. So in their south side is Egypt, then southeast, southeast, right? Edom, and then Moab, Ammon, and in the south, in the north, you can see Syria, and then on the west side, north is Tyre, right? Tuelo, especially mentioned in the chapter 1. So this is a neighboring countries. 6 countries, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And Philistine in the southwest. Southwest. Philistine. So these 6 countries surround the Israel and Judah. So that's why in chapter 1 and chapter 2, specially mentioned about these 6 nations. And then God have a message to, especially to Judah and to Israel. But because Amos was sent to speak for Israel, so the major part of the Amos talking about Israel. Okay, so this will give you some idea about the location. All right. So the background. This is a time of peace and prosperity during these 2 kings. If you look at the 2 Kings 14:23-28. 2 Kings 14:23-28. Okay, please continue. Okay, 28, right? Okay, so the history here, you can see in verse 25 mentioned the prophet Jonah. Okay, and so that's why it's around the same time with prophet Jonah of Amos. And if you look at the verse 28, special mention, Jeroboam II, he restored, how he recovered Damascus and the Hamath, which belonged to Judah, for Israel. Okay, they're not written. So this describes in the Jeroboam seconds, you know, their territory actually is the biggest. If we include Israel and Judah, this is a fulfillment of how God promised to David. This is the original promise of land, supposedly. This should possess. So this is the high peak of the entire history of Israel. Because Syria, they put their boundary of north up to Hamath, Hamakor. This is what God promised to Abraham. So in this period of time, they enjoy this prosperity. So their GDP growth maybe double digit, maybe. Hey, GDP, right? This is our modern term, GDP. So everybody have a lot of money in their pocket, so they can enjoy, they can spend whatever they want. Right? So we can, from this book, we can see how people, they become rich, and many people, they change their occupation from farmer into the merchant. They're trying to do some trade. They want to do business. So many people, they maybe sold their land and then become, you know, someone, businessman, because it's easier to earn money. So this is from ancient time until now, it's the same trend, right? You are a farmer, you just get food from land and just for your stomach only. But you want to get money, earn a lot of wealth, then you have to do business. That's how a merchant, they can really so attracted for people to devote their time for making money. The same thing happened in this Israel. So also peace between Judah and Israel. They have no fight. Okay. No major threat from foreign nations, because Assyria has been subdued by Assyria, Yasu. So in Assyria, they have no interest in Israel and Judah yet, because they have conquered their own territory. So this is where maybe after 750, then they try to push forward west, and then that's how in 722, eventually the North Kingdom, Israel, become captivity of Assyria. So this is a perfect timing for them to enjoy their life. But this is also a society of corruption. From their religion, from their social justice, from their the how they treat others, the interpersonal relationship, we can see all the corruption in Israel. That's why God specially sent Amos to prophesy and to announce the judgment. And some of the prophecy will become true about 30 years later. Okay? So, in that time, their corruption, we can see from the book. Huh? If we look at the chapter 2, verse 6, Amos chapter 2, 6, they become, and you know, the generally speaking, people tend to be greedy. They want more and more. They never content for what they have. Okay, Amos chapter 2, verse 6. Verse 2:6, please read. Okay. You can see they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. You can see. So meaning they enslave people, right? So if someone becomes a slave, then their value less than a pair of sandals. Wow, the sandal must be made of gold or silver, maybe. So expensive. But you can see how rich people treated the poor. It's totally unjust, unrighteous. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. So greedy, right? They also, you know, the rich one, they oppress the poor one. Chapter 4, verse 1. Okay. So, do you see the similarity of this description with our society here? Okay. People, some of the, you know, especially maybe in the Western country, the developed country, we still remain a certain degree of social just. Because for those wealthy people, they probably dare not to do so. Because if they has been found out by the newspaper and post in YouTube, and then they probably have no chance to do business at all. So they try to be good. Superficially, they become a model. You know, they are kind of do a lot of charities, you know, to get a person a good impression about their good deeds, right? But in the developing country, or rather in Africa, for those who are really rich, their attitude is very different from what we can imagine. They just like a king, so they can, you know, order someone to just exactly from what we read here in chapter 4, verse 1. They just say, let's, you know, bring the wine and then let's drink. And they don't care about this poor. They oppress this people in need. So that's why, actually, this is a matter of the social structure, hierarchy. That's why a lot of Western aid, financial aid or anything for poor, suppose that we want to give it to those who are in need, right? But actually, these goods or the we call second hands of the clothing, whatever, if we donate it to the third country, maybe only 10% or 5% reach to those who are really need all those goods. Most of them they have been, you know, possessed as their property for those who have a connection, and then they earn money. Because they receive free, and then they can sell it. Then they make a lot of profit from people's love. So that's how this society. So greedy and oppression. Chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 12. Corruption and bribery deteriorate the justice system. Chapter 5, verse 7. Continue. Okay. So, you can see the deed of righteousness in the earth treated justice as a rubbish. Don't care, right? Verse 12. Oh, this is called transgressions. I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. Your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They took a bride and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. So this is the time, you know, most of people, they keep silence. Right? Because if you have a good eyesight, you can discern, oh, this is not the right time to speak. Keep silent. So that's why in verse 13, continue. Amen. Therefore, the prudent should keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. And this verse can reveal how brave the prophet Amos is. For those who really can tell this is like, this is an evil time, they decide to keep silence. But God called Amos and sent him from far away, right? From far country, and then said to the north to speak out aloud, say, you are wrong. The judgment is coming. You can see this is called prophet. Also, the merchants, they held double scales. Let's turn to chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 4 to 6. Then we can see the reality of their faith. Even though they keep Sabbath, they keep the feast, but their heart is totally not there. Just superficially. Follow the law only. Right, continue. 4 to 6. Okay, you can see if verse 4, hear this, or you are swallowed up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail. So when will the new moon begin, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making an ephah small, and then the shekel great? So how they cheat others? They just try to take advantage from others. They are not honest at all. And they just cannot wait until, you know, sunset so they can make business again. Okay? So, this is how, and the business is not the honest actually. They have a double scale. Just like now everything is fake, right? Hasten the hasten the black heart. So, because you don't know whether this is true or not, or pure or impure. So, this is a summary of the society at the time: the corruption, selfish, dishonest, immoral, crafty, and drunken was their common lifestyle. Oh, the drunken lifestyle is in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 5 to 6. 4 to 6. 4 to 6. Please read. 6, 4 to 6. Fine. Finish the sister side, right? And then, brother, from back. Chapter 6, verse 5. Amen. So this is their indulgence in their eating and drinking. And then just don't care. Enjoy it. It's how they live for their life. Okay? Amos, this prophet. You can see in the whole book, you can see how Amos, he especially mentioned about the rich one, or those who have authority to oppress the poor. Why? Because he grew up in this countryside. He is just a sheep breeder, or just a farmer. They are tender of the sycamore tree, right? So just it's very ordinary. So he has especially compassionate, be compassionate to the poor. So his heart is touched by those who are in need. So this kind of a characteristic we have to always learn. Jesus is this kind of person, right? Very compassionate, full of mercy and love. So once we saw something, someone is in need, show our compassionate, learn from Jesus, right? Learn from the prophet. And he is also a courageous man. Bravely answered to God's calling. And he actually was empowered by God. You know, in that evil time, those who have considered as wise, they keep silence. They don't want to speak anything because they know no use. Because the more you speak, people tend to hate you because you just, the people say, you don't care. This is this is a kind of the good environment. How come you speak this kind of the word, right? You ruin the atmosphere. People may just challenge you. But you can see in chapter 7, let's turn to chapter 7, when Amos saw the visions, then he just cannot hold it anymore. He had to speak it out, right? In verse 14, let's turn to 7, let's turn to 10. Change it to verse 10. Verse 10 to 13. 10 to 13. Father. Until 13. Okay, you can see how this priest Amariah, he just specially challenged Amos. You go back home. Don't come to here. You go somewhere else to earn your bread, right? How come you just say such a harsh word and say God will destroy the kingdom and the Israelites? Will be destroyed. I just cannot imagine. But how he prophesied to this house of Israel, 16 to 18, 16 to 17. Okay, amen. So, Amos, you know, was fearless, right? He just prophesied about what the Lord said. Now, you listen, right? This is what the Lord said. Your wife will be harlot in the city. Your daughter and your son. It's kind of harsh, right? People just want him, you know, this priest said, you go home. And you can see how he responds to this priest. You know. So this is called prophet. You consider imagine this kind of the scenario in your mind. If you are Amos, are you dare to answer in this way? Have you this kind of courage and power to say such a word? It's very difficult. But At the same time, we can see how he was very faithful to God's word. So from chapter 1, you can see repeatedly in this book, there's a characteristic, a phrase repeated again and again is, "Thus say the Lord." 神如此说, "Thus say the Lord." Meaning, he just a recorder. Whatever God said, he just repeated. This is what God said. Everything from chapter, I think it's more than 30 times. You can count it by yourself. "Thus say the Lord." He just repeated. Very faithful. Because he's supposed to behave, to please God. And courageously face against the priest. And then, let's turn to chapter 7, verse 1 to 4. He is very compassionate to the people and then intercede for them. Chapter 7, verse 1 to 4, this is the first two visions God revealed to him, and then how he responds to the vision. Okay, 1 to 4, please read. Tier 6. Verse 5 and 6. Continue. Amen. So these two visions. First is the locust. The second one is the fire. So Amos just said, "Oh Lord," verse 2, "I said, Oh Lord God, forgive, I beseech you, by whom should Jacob arise? For he is small." Jacob is small. If you let this happen, then they will fall forever. No way to rise again. Right? And then God relented. Meaning, God just showed compassion as well. Right? So, okay, forgive. It should not be. And the second time, the vision of fire. You can see verse 5. "Oh, Lord God, cease, I beseech you. By whom should Jacob arise? For he is small." Again. It's fire. This fire is not an ordinary fire. Not just a monk. This is a fire burned down from into the heart of earth, right? Because it's in verse 4. "Behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep and did it up apart." South of the disaster, you can imagine this kind of fire. And this is how this prophet intercede for the Israel. And God, listen, okay. Oh, God relented. All right, all night. Chapter 1 to chapter 2, this is a judgment to the nations. 6 surrounding countries, right? And then one for Judah, one for Israel. And chapter 3 to chapter 6, this repeatedly say, "Oh, children of Israel, hear the word of God." Hear, especially you pay attention. Bible say, hear. Because he proclaimed the message of God and pointed out the iniquities of Israel. So chapter 3 to chapter 6, this is the main message. And then chapter 7 to chapter 9, verse 10, the five judgmental vision against Israel. Five visions. Okay. Then from verse 11 to 15 in chapter 9, this is a promise of salvation. We can see at the end, the prophet left these two prophecies, two promises of God. At the end time, God will restore this tabernacle of David. And then God will replant, will plant them upon their land. And God will also rebuild the ruins. Physically, we can see how Israel restored from captivity. But spiritually, we can see how God restored His church. So this is how HTJC we view this book as a promise of salvation, and we are in the right time to restore this true gospel. This in the first two chapters, this eight judgment, the first is about six neighboring nations. Okay? And then one for Judah, one for Israel. We know that this is now, right? And regarding to the God's announcement about judgment to nation, the same format. Let's say the law first. God point out, you repeat sin again and again. This is how, our people tend to sin against. So that's why we do need a redeemer, because we, as a human being, we have our nature weakness. Our human nature is tend to repeat what we have done. So that's why every day you have a routine. You don't have to think about. Then you just repeat it your same way every day. So once we fall into this kind of the bad habit, and this is very difficult to change it, unless we have this Holy Spirit to pour us out. Otherwise, people will fall into this habit. Say the Lord, and then the wrongs are pointed out. God already mentioned why, what have you done? And then the judgment is announced. So this is the same format for this eight judgments. Okay? And then, regarding to these foreign countries, God only cares about these things. Because this is what God points out, their wrongs. Okay? Like, for example, to Syria, Damascus, they bought Israel, because the Gilead, land of Gilead, is in the east side of the Jordan River. Remember, this is the land. The two and a half tribes, they ask, they inquire from Moses, say, this will become our inheritance, right? But this is how they pay the price, because once the foreign country come to body them, they are the first to face this invasion. So this is how they are not smart at all, because God already set up your the promised land is a waste of the Jordan River, so they have protection, natural protection, but they decide to stay in the east side, and that's a mistake. Okay? So that has been bullied by others. And in chapter 1, verse 6 and 9, especially talk to Philistine, Gaza, and also to Tyre. So they took captive the whole captivity to Edom, meaning they just try to use this Israelites as a gift and try to earn favor from the Edom, because Edom is stronger. Right? And they remember not the bloody covenant. This is for chapter 1, verse 9. This is for Tyre. They don't keep their promise to others. So they betrayed others. This unfaithfulness. And then, in verse 10, to Edom, God point out the case of all pity. They have no mercy at all. They are so cruel. This is what actually God, think this they sin again and again. But to Israel, it's different. So all these wrongdoings relate to how they treat others. But to the house of God, to the chosen people of God, God specially mentioned to their sins. It's all related to how they worship God. The relationship between man and God. So they despise God's law. They do not keep God's commandment, and they follow lies, which is their forefathers' practice. They just fall into these fathers' traditions. They don't consider to change a return to God's way. Okay? They have no love to brethren, and they commit adultery. So this is more toward to how they behave in God's commandment. So God specially point out their transgression. This is a different direction. So to us, we are considered the chosen people of God. God have a higher standard to us. So if we really care about God, we will consider to build the relationship with God first. And then, of course, God will help us. Then we will build a good relationship with man. Because this is the first. Okay? So we'll continue in tomorrow. Alright, so let's pray in silence. Amen.